Okay, so we're looking at a sefer called Dinei Shviyah that I've told you about many, many times. And we're going to try to go through three prakim today in this sefer. That's Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, and maybe Chaf. I didn't give you Chaf yet, I have it here in case we get to it. Now, just as an introduction, we're talking about Schora bePeros Shviyas, which means you're not allowed to buy and sell and do business with Peros of Shviyas. Again, what is Peros of Shviyas? That we've discussed on more than one occasion. We'll discuss it again today. And he starts by telling us that in the Pasuk of Ahaysa Shabbos Ha'aretz Lachem Li Achla, Chachamim Darshin Li Achla Velo L'Schora. That's the Sugyan Avodah Zarah towards the end of the Masechta, which means that the Peros of Shviyas are given for eating, for enjoying. And we've discussed this, that it means you have to do according to the Nitan, whatever it's good for. There are fruits that are eaten by humans, other fruits that are eaten by animals, etc., etc. But the Torah excludes Schor. You're not allowed to do business with Peros of Shviyas. Therefore, to buy and sell the fruits of Shviyas the way we do it the rest of the year, that's prohibited. So first and foremost, if we buy and sell Peros Shviyas, we violate the Isur of Li'achla V'lo L'Schora, which is an Isur Aseh. That's a very serious violation. But then he lists another five possible Isurim that we might violate. Number one, the Isur Sfichin. That means if the fruits grew during the seventh year, even if they were planted before the seventh year, with the exception of fruit trees, but that's a different story, they're Asur Midin Sfichin. And we're not allowed to do anything but let them rot in the case of Sfichin. Number two, we have the Isur of Shomer V'Nevad. We're not allowed to benefit from any fruits that were produced by working the land. That's called Nevad, or Shomer means that they were, you know, somebody went out of his way to protect these fruits. Number three says, Hakona Li'achar Zman Biur. You might actually buy these fruits after the Zman Biur, and that we haven't discussed yet exactly when the Zman Biur is. That's going to be another chapter in the book. We have to avoid that Isur. And then with Naiva, just by buying the fruits, we are causing the seller to violate an Isur Schora. So that means we're tripping up someone else in an Avera. And finally, what we're left with is the fifth Isur, and that's Mesiras Dmei Shviyas L'Amaretz, meaning if the person who's selling it to you is ignorant, he doesn't know the laws, then not only is he doing Schora with Peros Shviyas, but by your giving him money, that money we'll see takes on the status of Peros Shviyas, and he has no clue about that. So he treats the money as if it was chulin, as if it was regular secular money. Lachem. Now we get to the punchline. Tzarech lahakpid liknos peros v'yirakos hakdoshim k'tusha shviyas rak b'chanuyot sheyesh aleihem hashkacha mitam v'adat hashmita. So normally during the year when we're into the whole seven-year period, when we're interested in buying kosher food, we go to the Vadat HaRabbanut, or whatever the Hashkocha is, the Vadat. Here we have Hashkocha called Vadat HaShmita. And they will supervise the sale of Peros Shviyas. How do they do so? How do they circumvent any problem whatsoever with regard to violating Peros Shviyas? That's what we're going to learn now in this chapter. Vadot HaShmita Mafakchot, they supervise that there's nothing being sold that entails any violation or any chashash of Peros Shviyas.
So how do we know which hashkacha to trust?
Look for the sign that says Va'adot Shmita. You know, Va'adat Shmita. If you see that, you know you're in good shape.
Just one second, I'm sorry. Like if that store is selling oats are based in.
Again, don't ask any questions yet because that's what this chapter is dedicated to. What exactly are they supervising? How are they circumventing all the laws of Shviyas? Again, all this we're going to cover.
But you said,
Rabbi Polstein, if you have any questions at the end of the shiur, I'll try to answer them. But first, let's get there, you know, step by step. What exactly are they doing? Is it oats? Otzer Beis Din? Is it not Otzer Beis Din? Are they buying Peres Nachri? Are they not buying Peres Nachri? What exactly are they supervising? So let's leave the questions till we get a little bit of a picture, a flavor of what's going on, okay? So the Perek Zed, this chapter, Nilmad, we're going to study Yesodot Dinei Schora, the fundamentals of the laws of sale and buying Shvius. And in the very next chapter, which I have for you here in this packet, which is Perek Ches, we're going to look at what the Vadat HaShemitah is supervising. Okay, so that's what we're going to study. So first and foremost, Asur Lischar Bepeiro Shvius. If we do business with fruits that have the sanctity of Shvius, then we violate a mitzvah saseh, the Torah says li'ochla, which means you have to eat it and not sell it. And therefore, peiro shvius, af shenimkeru be'isur, you should know that the isur is just schora, there's no isur achila, so even though the seller or the buyer may have participated in the violation of the isur schora peiro shvius, nevertheless, the fruits remain kadosh b'kedusha shvius, and the mitzvah achila still is intact. Afal pisha amr shasr lischar bepeiro shvius mikomakom hitiru lilkot peiro shvius afilu almanas limkar. What we're going to study today are the circumstances in which, and this is going to be an introduction to what we buy during shvius, there is a license to actually sell peiro shvius. Under what conditions can the peiros of shvius be sold? Now, number one, hitiru lilkot peiro shvius afilu almanas limkar ubilvad shetehei hakamut mu'etet. What it means is that we can't do business with peiro shvius if we're limiting our volume, and we're going to have to see exactly what that means, and it's what's called mu'etes. Then what we're basically doing is we are taking the fruits of the land in order to eat. And that's exactly what the Torah wants us to do. Again, as long as there's no Issur Svichin, which we have to talk about. But assuming that it's Peiro Shvius without an Issur Svichin, then we're allowed to take these fruits, harvest them in small volumes. Because that's not considered Schora. The opposite of Schora is L'Achila. What's considered L'Achila, not L'Schora, if it's a limited volume. You know, so you're not going out there with the main tractors and harvesting them in great volumes. V'shir mu'ot. How much is considered a limited amount and you're allowed to take out the fruits and harvest them for that amount, in that volume? Kishir sha'odom noeg lesof lebeso liyomi mu'ot. It's an amount of fruit that you would need to keep yourself going, to have food on the table for a few days. And then he adds a comment in parentheses, "Ubilvad she'enzu kamut gedola shel perot." The main condition is that we're not talking about large volumes. You know, everyone knows exactly what they do when they go shopping every 3-4 days. They buy fruits, they buy vegetables, and they buy grains if they need grains. How much do they buy? How much do they need for their family? That's a normal amount for food. Yesh omrim. Now here's where we get a chumrah. Again, we're not looking specifically for chumras, but if you want to find one, here's a good one. He says, Shashir mu'ot hu mazon shalosh seudos. The amount of food you would need for 3 meals. Okay, I would say that we can allow ourselves a little bit more license. Okay? Now, what we're doing is, we're buying fruits that have Kedusha Shvius for immediate use, L'Achila, in small amounts. What other conditions have to be met? What other conditions make it obvious and demonstrative that what you're doing is not Schora? It's not enough that you limit the volume. There has to be other limitations. Number two, it cannot be sold b'mida, b'minyan, or b'mishkal. It cannot be sold by volume or by numbers. You know, some things you buy numbers, some things you buy by volume, some things you buy by weight. Ela ba'omed bilvad. You have to make an umdana. You really cannot buy and sell an exact measurement. It's got to be an umda, which means a general assessment. Vatam, and once again, the same reasoning. Shaloye nire kisocher v'peiro shvius. It shouldn't look like he's buying and selling, making profit. He's in business for peiro shvius. V'od, and furthermore, we want the buyer to understand. Kidei sheinikar shehem peiro shvius v'yochleim v'kedusha shvius. He should be reminded that he's not just buying peiros of chulin, that he can do whatever he wants with them, but rather he's buying peiros shvius. Now we have a third condition, and we'll make a summary of all the conditions in just a moment, but they're all basically coming to the same conclusion, meaning that it should be the opposite of schora. It's not business. And therefore, asur lemokhnam bashuk, we're going to see that we have to sell them not in a public marketplace, as you would do if you were making business out of Peiros Shvuos. B'makom shederech l'makom shel kol shana. Kidei shelo yei nireh kischora. That's condition number three. Now condition number four. Hamocher peros afil b'derech muteres. So again, he's limited the volume. He's selling it ba'omed. He's not measuring it out in a very specific way. And number three, he is not selling it or buying it in the place where it's normally sold and bought. But number four, hare adamim, the money that's used to purchase peiros shvius is hare adamim nitfasim b'kedusha shvius. This is called tfisas damim. Tfisas damim means the money that's being given in exchange for peiros shvius that are sanctified with the kedusha of shvius, that money now has the status of peiros shvius. We'll see what that means. But keep in mind, the peiros themselves also have the status of kedusha shvius. This is not what you normally call the chilul. Chilul means when you transfer the kedusha from one object to the other. In this case, the peiros become the tfasim kedusha shvius, but the original kedusha shvius is still intact. A halacha similar to that is by avodah zarah. If you sell avodah zarah when you're not supposed to, the money has the status of avodah zarah with all the surim, and yet the avodah zarah itself still retains its status. And lahavdil, the same thing applies to kedusha shvius. So what do you do with the money? And in this case, the seller has to know the answer to this question. He just received a bundle of money. V'noig b'kesef zeh, what does he do with this money? Kol adinim anoig b'kedushas peiros shvius, as if it was sanctified with the sanctity of shvius. Lachem, therefore yesh liknos b'kesef machol or mashke, he's got to buy food or drink. V'yochlein b'kedushas shvius. And by the way, this is going to be a major problem that we have to address today. What happens if you're buying peiros shvius from an amoretz and he has no clue what to do with the damim? Or what happens if you buy from an amoretz and you don't have exact change, so he gives you change from the cashier, and that money itself is nitfas b'tfisas kedushas shvius because he had sold and purchased shvius. So we'll get to that too. But right now what we're saying is that this halacha called tfisas damim. And tfisas damim means now the monies have to be treated in the same way that you would treat shvius, but there's one major difference. When you take that money, which was used to purchase peiros shvius, and you here means the seller, right? And the seller now takes this money and he buys food, now the money is mischalel. It means it loses its status as kedusha shvius. The kedusha shvius is now transferred over to the food that he bought with this money. So therefore, liachar knias hamachal, once he buys food with peiros, with kesef hanitfasin v'kedusha shvius, is yotzei hakesef lechulin. The money is now chulin, but now you should know that the original peiros shvius still retain their status. Now he gives an example.
What happens to food that he bought with that money?
that has Kedusha Shvius. The Kedusha Shvius now.
It's never grown.
Even though it's never grown.
Or whatever.
You imagine if the money has the status. I mean, the, just the, you know, the star that has I don't know, his picture on it, on the, you know, Shari Gnon's picture on it. If that has Kedusha Shvius, then how much more so the Paris that he bought with it has Kedusha Shvius. So now he's going to give an example. L'dugma. Okay, let's bring everything that we said down to practical reality. Machar Peiro Shvitz. He sold the fruits of Shvitz and all the conditions that were met. It was sold in small volumes. It was sold outside the marketplace. It was sold biomet. Hakesef, the money that was received as a barter, as an exchange for Peiro Shvitz, Nitfas Bekdusha Shvitz. It has the status of Shvius. HaPeros Nisharu B'Kedushasam. The original fruits that grew from the ground remain sanctified with Kedusha Shvius. And they have to be treated as such. Now he has the money in his hand. The money has Tfisas Domin. Tfisas Kedusha Shvius. Kana Vakesef Dogin. He went ahead and he bought some fish. HaKesef Yotzal L'chulin. The money now is treated as secular money. Vadogim nichnasu tachteim, nichnasu tachteim. Now the fish has the status of the kesef, which means it has kedushas shvius. Now he went and he took the fish and he did a barter exchange and he got meat instead of the fish. Hadogim yatzu l'chulin, habasar nitfas b'mkom kedushas shvius. So it's a chagadya, but ultimately, he better eat something at the end of the day, because that something has Kedusha Shvius. And not only that, the payrolls from the get-go have Kedusha Shvius.
He needs to treat the fish or the meat at this point like can't mavaze it.
Correct. He's got to eat it. He can't feed it to a dog if it's humanly consumption. And he can't make it into a dye if it's, right, if it's the, you know, all the dinim that we studied at great length. Zaklal. The original Peros Shvius that grew from the ground, they are sanctified Leolam for all eternity. Tia means let it be, let it stand. It will always remain with the same identical status. V'chein, and so too, Hatmura Hachrona, the very last thing that's bought as an exchange for the original Kedusha Shvius. Again, it might be 10 things down the line, but whatever it is, it's called Tmura. Tmura means an exchange. The last one on the line, Sheniteres Avur Dmei Shvius, that was obtained through the Dmei Shvius, the money that was used to pay for the Shvius, Nisheres Kedusha, Kedosha V'Kedusha Shvius. Good, we have it, more or less? Again, that's just the structure of it. Now, furthermore, we have a problem in buying Peiro Shvius from an Amoritz who has no clue about the laws of Shvius. He uses an even stronger terminology, which I was trying to avoid. He says, even when you're allowed to buy Shvius, but what if you buy them from someone who's suspect that he violates the laws of Shvius? Now we have a problem. What's the problem? This is the Lifnei'iver problem that we mentioned before. You might trip him up. You now pay the seller money in exchange for the fruits. What happens to that money? As we said before, Tfisas Domin Nitfas B'Kedusha Shvius. But this halacha, Ein Mosrin Dmei Shvius L'Choshet Al Shvius. We cannot hand over monies that are sanctified with Kedusha Shvius to someone who is suspect not to be careful about the laws of Shvius. Because obviously, since he's not careful about the laws of Kedusha Shvius, he's not going to be careful about the Tfisas Domim, the monies that he receives in exchange for Shvius. So this is going to be a problem, and here's where we're going to need the Vadat HaShvitah to do all our supervision for us. Then he mentions a number of other prohibitions that you're not allowed to do with Peiro Shvius. For example, not only are you not allowed to do business in the sense that you're buying and selling Peiro Shvius, you can't even use Peiro Shvius to pay up your debts. Like, let's say, for example, you hire someone and you want to pay him for his work and you want to give him a bag of onions that are sanctified with Kedusha Shvius. That's not allowed. That's called socher, that's called schorah v'per shvius, even though he's not selling it on an open market, but he's using it to pay up his debts. That's also included under liachla v'lola schorah. Viod, and furthermore, he's got an additional problem that perish vias, as we said over and over again, have a din of nitan. Nitan means it's designated for the maximum hana that it has. So now that you're in possession, you obtain perish vias, the maximum hana you can get from perish vias is called achila, achilas adam, and now you're using it for a different benefit that you're not allowed to do. V'chein, and furthermore, also l'shalim schar avoda v'perosh v'yis. You're not allowed to even pay your workers with perosh v'yis, as we said before. And now we move on to number test, which is on Kuf Yud Beis. What about using perosh v'yis for the mitzvah of mishloach manos? And I was wondering, you know, this is going to be way down the line in Chodesh Adar, but the truth is that's really when the perosh v'yis, to a large extent, are out there in the market, you know, because many months of Shvius have already passed. We're up to Adar, and there's a wealth of Shvius out there, and you want to give it as a gift of Mishloach Manos. He says, Ein bazeh mishum priyas chov. That's not considered paying up a chov. Ubilvad shamakabel, the only condition that has to be guaranteed is that he receives these Mishloach Manos. He's a good guy, he's reliable as far as Kedusha Shvius. Basically, we're not allowed to give payroll Shvius to anyone other than someone who's going to be careful about Kedusha Shvius, because otherwise we violate Lifnei Iver and we're causing the desecration of payroll Shvius. What about import? Payroll Samyubayim Michutz Laretz. These are imported from out of Eretz Yisrael. And now people might get the misimpression that they are grown locally. They look exactly like the local fruits. And now you're going to treat them as if they don't have Kedusha Shvius. That itself is okay, but what about the onlooker, the spectator? Im Epshal HaHakir Bem Shein Peres Chutz Laretz, if they're packaged in such a way. You know, this came from whatever country, you know, is then, that's fine. Even if it's only an expert who would know, but at least there's some possible way of identifying that it comes from Chutz Laretz, or Rov Min Zeh, you know, it's a very rare kind of fruit that's not grown locally here in Israel, except on rare occasions, and basically the bulk of those fruits come from Chutz Laretz, then you can treat them like you treat fruits the whole 6-year period of time before Shvius, because they don't have Kedusha Shvius. However, if it's not recognizably fruits that came from Chutz Laretz, v'gam rov min peros elu eina michutz laretz, so there's no sign on it that it came from Chutz Laretz, and plenty of those identical species of fruits are grown in Eretz Yisrael, then again we have to treat them when we sell them the same way we would sell peros shvius, with all the conditions that we mentioned before, small amounts. And it's got to be ba'omed, you know, let her measure it out. Pen, what are we afraid of? Yachshavu, the spectator thinks that they're Paris Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to come to the mistaken conclusion that you're allowed to sell peros of Shvius. You have to make sure that it's done in a private place and not publicly, and it's done ba'omed. And as we said before, it's sold in small amounts. Okay, now we get back to the main question for today, and that is, what are we getting here when the Vadat HaShmita is giving it supervision? How do they oversee and guarantee that none of the violations of Perish Shvius are going to be problematic? And he calls this Perek Yudches Ketzad Konin Peros V'Yerakos B'Shnas HaShmita. Halacha L'maisa. I'm a religious Jew. I want to observe the laws of Shemitah. How do I go about supplying my household with fruits and vegetables during the Shemitah? We've already seen back in Perek Yud Gimel, this we mentioned before, that there's a basic machlokas with regarding fruits and vegetables that came from Goyim. Let's say what we call Arab produce. He says, It's a machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. Minig Yerushalayim is to be mekil like the Das Beis Yosef, and this is called Yivul or Peres Nachri. Ein Bahem Dinei Shvius. They don't have the Kedushas Shvius, which means, and we discussed this at great length, I'm not going to go over it again, Yesh Kinyan Liakum Lafkia Mikdushas Arts, that the fact that the guy owns the land, and therefore the produce of that land, that's Mafkia Kedusha as far as the fruits of the land is concerned. That's the opinion of the Beis Yosef, and that's the minhag accepted in Yerushalayim. That's not the minhag accepted in Bnei Brak. Because Das Marna Chazon Ish Lifsok Kidas HaMabit. And the Mabit holds that Peros Nachri have Kedushas Shvius. I don't know if my Rebbe Rav Salvechik said anything about this, but my intuition tells me that he would agree with the Chazon Ish. That's just my intuition. It's very difficult to assume that Yesh Kinyan Akum Lafkia. But on the other hand, the Minhag Yerushalayim is the Minhag Yerushalayim. We don't have to be more religious than the Pope. And in Yerushalayim, that's what we do. We buy Yivul Nachri. And that's what we've been doing for the last, I don't know how many Shvius is here in Yerushalayim. But if you're following the Mabit, which is the Chazon Ish, then you're going to need a much different kind of supervision over the fruits that you're buying, because you are now buying Kedusha Shvius, and all the restrictions that apply with regard to selling and buying Kedusha Shvius are going to apply even to non-Jewish fruits and vegetables. Ketotzal mikach. Therefore, to summarize the impact of this machlokes, of these two different minhagim, yesh hevdelim b'nohalei v'adot hashmita. There are two different operative, modus vivendi of v'adat hashmita. One is going to be the v'adat hashmita of the Dak Beit Yosef. You'll see this written out very clearly on the sign. It'll say, k'minog ha-Beit Yosef. And what do? Misafkot b'chanuyot, all the produce that you're going to buy from a store, a vegetable store, a fruit store that has the sign on it, v'adat hashmita k'minog Beit Yosef, is going to be totzeret akum. It's going to be totzeret nachri. She'ein ba, and according to this opinion of the Beit Yosef, it is not sanctified b'kedusha shvius. Now, it might not be exclusively toseres nachri, it's not just Arab produce, it might also be, and that would be acceptable even for the Chazon Ish, yibu mi-chutz la'aretz, if it's imported fruits and vegetables from chutz la'aretz.
That's certainly, that's sure.
That for sure has no kedusha shvius at all, except again, unless it should be made clear that it's chutz la'aretz, so that you don't have the problems that we've discussed about the spectator. Okay, so again, let's just summarize. We're up to Vadat Hashmita Kedat HaBeit Yosef. The mischar of these fruits and vegetables is going to be identical to what it was in the last 6 years, to what will be the next 6 years after Shvius, because there is no sanctity to the Kedusha Shvius. That's the kula of the Minhag Yerushalayim. However, we're going to focus our attention for the time being, because this is a much more difficult question to answer. How can you sell and buy Peros Shvius with a Vadat Shmitah that says Kedas HaMabit or Kedas HaChazon Ish, which is a different kind of a Vadat Shmitah supervision? How do they do this? And here I'm going to come back to your question from the get-go, and that is what's called Otsar Beit. Okay, now we're ready for Otsar Beitin. Again, don't hit me with any questions yet. I'm not ready for questions. But we'll go through Otsar Beitin and try to get again, this is all extremely practical. And there's a lot of stuff that comes into Yerushalayim with Otsar Beitin. So we have to know these halachas. O kishluchei hakonim. Okay, in other words, even if it's not Otsar Beitin, which again, you'll see a sign, trust me, you'll see a sign that says Otsar Beitin on it. If it's not Otsar Beitin, and we're talking about Peros of Totzeres Nachri, and we're talking according to the Mabit, according to Chazon Ish, we have another option called Shluchei Hakonim, which we're going to now study in great detail. Just to give you a heads up, very you know, capsulized summary or concentrated formulation of what Shluchei Akonim is that basically what we're doing is we are, each and every one of us that are going to buy fruits are figuratively or halachically, not literally, going into the fields in which there are fruits that are growing, and those fruits have sanctity of Shvius, even if they're non-Jewish owned, because we're going like the Chazanish. And what we're doing is we're plucking from the ground only that which we need for immediate use. What do you mean? I never did such a thing. Even the frumous guy in Bnei Brak, who's following the Chazanish, he never went down on all four, you know, down on all fours and started harvesting fruits. But the answer is shlichus. He is going to appoint a shliach to do this for him, but only for immediate use. Only for eating peros shvius. And he's going to be knowing peros shvius with these fruits, even though they're totzeres nok, because he's following the Chazanish. And he's going to be makvid to do whatever you do with peros shvius with these fruits and vegetables. But there's no problem of schora, because it's not being mass marketed. It's going to be through the shluchim in a very private, personal, individual, and limited way, as we'll see as we go. I just wanted to give you a general picture of what's coming up the pipe. Okay. Here are the rules. Rule number one. This is the most important rule. Yesh lakpid liknot kol pri o yerek shechalav kedusha shvius. Again, we're assuming like the Chazon Ish. So basically, with the exception of import from Chutz Lartz, everything that we're seeing in the market has Kedusha Shvius in it. But we're going to be makpid that it's being sold by a supervised store that has Vadat HaShmitah. And that's the best way of avoiding any Chashash Isur Schora. There are other ways, which are sort of Bidieved, and they are going to be presented if you don't have this option. You know, not always can I get access, you know, to Baruch Hashem. It's getting easier with each following Shemitah, but, you know, back in the day it wasn't so easy to see a Vadat Shemitah. I don't even know here in this neighborhood. Does anybody know if there is Vadat Shemitah here in this area of Yerushalayim? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Unlikely,
yeah. Because even to get Vadat stuff, you know, the whole year round, it's a little.
Things they have here at the main, like the Super Soul.
The Super Soul in top, like the beginning of Talpiot here.
So they have a hecher for Shemitah, and then things are labeled. Like you'll say, from Chutz Lartz or from...
Yeah, but can you pay and take a chain from the till?
Oh, okay, so that's what we're going to get.
And then there's another store on the street. 7 years ago, it turned into a store called Otzer Haaretz. Three levels. They had Otzer Beisdin, Hetem Mechira, stuff in Chutz Lartz, and everything was clearly labeled with some of these things. It was all a mix. Yeah. It was they were trying to cater to everybody.
Okay,
I know
look.
Still there, but when they started off, and then they gave up and the quality was so low,
but look, you know what, Daniel, let's pray that this year will be better this week, because maybe, you know, maybe there are more people, you know, especially when the coal starts moving in and the mass
and maybe less produce in the market.
That's true. Okay, now let's go on here. What do we have to guarantee? And what do we need to supervise? And why are we totally dependent on the Vadat HaShemitah? First of all, again, we're worried about Schor B'Peir Shvius. Secondly, we have to worry about the Isus Sfichim, which again is going to be problematic later on in the year of Shemitah, when things that grow during Shemitah, fruits, and not so much fruits, but vegetables and legumes, will flood the market a little bit more towards Purim time. And I have for you, by the way, I wanted to show you this very interesting. At the end of the book, he's got a luach. Again, this is for a different year of Shemitah. But it's interesting just to see how detailed the luchos are. You know, it goes through when you have to worry about the Issa Svichin and which produce. Most of them are way, way later on in the year. I mean, the earliest kemad is Kislev, but it's mostly the Shvat, Adar, and so forth and so on. So you want to buy for example, watermelons. You know, when does the watermelon svichin problem start being problematic? And there are other isurim that we said before, and Daniil, you hinted at that, because I'm giving money to someone, I have to guarantee that he, the seller, is selling it in a proper way, in a permissible way, and he's going to use the monies in a permissible way. So all of that has to be supervised. He says, "Schanuyot elu, these stores that have the vadat hashmitah is mesafkos toteret." Which we're going to again get into in great detail. So either we're talking about Chutz La'aretz produce, if it was Yerushalayim, we're talking about non-Jewish produce. If we're talking about Otzer Beitin, we're talking about fruits and vegetables that have Kedusha Shviyas, and yet there's going to be supervision to circumvent all the minute details and problems that could arise with Kedusha Shviyas. Ultimately, the buyer is going to have to make sure that he knows the laws of Shviyas, and that's what we're doing now, trying to study them. Number two, this is Beis, on the bottom right. He says, "B'chanuyot ha-shvita she'yesh b'hem totzeres ha-kedusha b'kedusha Shviyas." Now we get to the real nitty-gritty problem. We're talking about a store that is selling Kedushas Shviyas. And again, for those who follow the Chazon Ish, that's going to be a very, very common situation that you're facing. Ro'i l'chol kone, this is the shlichus that we mentioned before. Every buyer should appoint up front, at the beginning of the year, Shviyas, et ma'argenei hachanut, those who are actually organizing the store, liot shlichov, they should be appointed as his shliach, liknot avuro totzeret, so that he is purchasing on their behalf, on the behalf of the buyers, each one, kedusha shviyas. Why? Ki al yidei ze, by appointing him a shliach, lo tiye knias ha-totzeres al yidei ha-mocher krucha ve'isu schora. Because basically, what he's doing is, he's not buying and then selling, he's buying for you. If he's buying for you and you're the consumer, you have no interest in selling and making a business out of Peres Shviyas, he also is not considered to be violating the Isur Mechira and Schor Peres Shviyas. He's really just your shliach. He's your extended arm to buy what you need for your table. And therefore he says on the top of page Kuf Tezvav, Ho'il since Hamocher, this buyer who's been appointed as your shliach, Konek Hamut Mu'etet, he's really not buying masses amount of values of schora. What he's doing is he's buying small amounts. I mean, little drops make up a whole, but each part of what he's buying is avur kol ech me'akona v'shlucha v'shlichusam. So like he's got 10 people that he's buying for, he's buying 1/10 of what he's buying for each one of the 10. It may be that the total amount is a serious volume, but he's buying for different people. He's just their shliach. So he's not doing schora v'perish shviyas. This is what you call in halacha harama. Harama means this is the way that we legally circumvent, you know, the prohibitions of the law. Like, I'll give you a classic example. You have a guy who's working for you on Shabbos, right? So you have to organize it in such a way that he's not just working for you on Shabbos, he's working for you the whole week long, and he chooses to work on Shabbos, so forth and so on. Or for example, chametz, you know, you're not allowed on chametz. So what do? You sell it to a guy. Ah, he's going to give it back to you. Okay, fine, he's going to sell it back to you. Maybe he won't sell it back to you. This is the way we're going to do it. He says, as a result of the fact that this mocher is your shliach, we're going to circumvent the violation of schora v'peres shviyas, because what he's buying for you is kamut mu'etet. That was the first condition that we had to obviate the iser of schora v'peres shviyas. It's a small, limited amount. V'chein mesiras ha-totzeres lakonim. And then when he passes on the fruits that he purchased on your behalf, that's not an act of schora. Ella, but rather kichalukas haperos sheniknu avavuram. He bought a massive amount of fruits, and now he's divvying it up amongst each owner of the fruit, and that he can do.
How does he make a parnasa?
Oh, so that's what we're going to see in a minute. So what is the money going for? And that's what we're going to have to designate the money. He says, b'shas adchak. Let's just get this before we answer your question, because again, I want to go according to his order. He really presents it in a very logical presentation. He says, "B'shas adchak kishekone totzeret hakadosh mikdusha shvis komperis yirakos she'enam asur v'svichin shelob chaniot hashmita." What happens if he can't get to a store that has this option, and he's buying fruits and vegetables that have kedusha shvis? So he has to do the following. This is called havla. This is another kind of harama. It's even more complicated. Yikna ha-totzeret ba-havla. He's got to make a deal with the seller. And hopefully the seller will comply with the rules of the game. Yikna gamperos o-shar dvam she'enim kedosha kedusha shviyas. Again, hopefully he has that option. That amongst the fruits that he's buying, he's going to also buy some fruits that are not sanctified with Kedusha Shviyas. Either they're from Shishis, or they're from Chutz Laretz. And then what does he do? He sets a price. And what does that price reflect? What is he buying with that X amount of money that he's giving to the seller? He's buying Peirol She'enom Kedusha V'Kedusha Shviyas. And what's swallowed up in this price are the peros shvius. How does he do such a thing? He makes a tnai, he makes an explicit condition with the seller, and the seller accepts that condition, that the peros of shvius he's receiving as an outright gift. Why would the seller agree to such a thing? Lumatzot, to balance, to counterbalance it, he's going to pay a little bit more for the kniano sefet she'ein bar kedusha shvius. But however, the havla, he says, has to be logical. It has to be reasonable. Lo yavlia pero shvius shave mana. Mana is a massive amount, a massive volume. Right, a mon is 100 zuz, right? For 2 zuzim, you could buy a goat. So you talk about a massive volume of peros, and you're buying them for what? For a shava pruta? In other words, it doesn't make any sense. How can you tell me that you're paying this massive amount of money for the peros of shishis, when in fact, you're buying shava mana of shvius? 99.9% of what you're buying, I'm just dramatizing it, is peros shvius. And what are you giving him? You're giving a massive amount of money for what? For that 0.1% of shishis, which is worth a nickel, it's worth a pruta. That's kechucha vitlula. That's really a joke. That's not havla. So hopefully this will work out. But again, a lot of conditions have to be met. If you're buying Kedusha Shvius from some store that doesn't have the Vadat HaShmita. And if we go on to Kuf Tes Zayin, Bishas HaDchak, and now you don't have the Vadat HaShmita, and you're purchasing, because you have no other choice, food, peros that have Kedusha Shvius, and there's no possibility of havla, then the only heter that you have, he says, and this is really b'shas hadchak gadol, is yishalim la-mocher ba-kofa. What does this mean? You don't pay him now, you pay him later. You give him a check dachui, correct? What's it called in English? A post-dated check, right? But now, it's very specific. I mean, how post-dated if he's willing to accept his demokher? He says, Tzarich shia kafa ad li achash haperos yeochlu. You've got to allow yourself a week or 3 days, whatever it takes you to eat up the fruit. And the post-dated check, this check dachui, will be cashable only after that 3-day period. So it doesn't look like the money is being accepted for the payrolls. The payrolls don't even exist when he gets the money. Again, it's a very weak heter because Lamaisa, he's giving the money for the fruits. That is schar of a pair of shvius. K'mochein, Efshal shalei ba. Oh, fine, that we said already. If I'm mocher and maskim, now we're stuck. There's no possibility of havla. The seller is not willing to give it to you. Be what? Be hakafa. Is yishalim ba hakafa muetis. This is really as thin as they get, you know. This is, you know, the Empire State Building standing on a thin thread. What's hakafa muetis? Yikach es haperos shekona kvar. He doesn't pay immediately. The mocher hopefully trusts him to walk out of the store. And then he comes back into the store and he pays the mocher. And in such a case, the payment is for a chov, but not for the fruits. It's almost as if the mocher is agreeing, if he's willing to do so, to give you, to grant you this massive amount of fruits as a gift. It's worth 100 shekel, or 1,000 shekel, and you come back and pay him a chov. You haven't paid him for the perosh fees. Again, these are kulos upon kulos upon kulos. Yesh lakpid, this is the bottom of page Kufte Zayin Hey. Shalol kabel kesef mi adam asher rov hakesef birshuso hino kadosh b'kedusha shvius. Now we get into the problem of a seller who's chashid b'kedusha shvius, that he's not makpid on kedusha shvius. Kegon yarkano chenvani sheikar isuko b'peros shvius during shvius. And maybe even in Shminas afterwards, in the eighth year, he is selling basically fruits and vegetables at a Kodesh Mekdusha Shvius. Okay, and let's say you're not relying on the Hetam Afira. So what are you going to do now? He has money in the cashier, in the kupah, right? And what is that money? That money has Tfisas Damim. Because how did he get that money? By selling Peros of Shvius. And now, What does he, the seller, according to Halacha, if he was an observant Jew, what does he have to do with that money? He's got to be very careful. He's got to buy machal and mashke, and he's got to treat it with kedusha shvius. And it's very problematic, or it's very, shall I say, rare that we can rely that that's exactly what he's going to do. So how are you going to get change from his kupah? That's one problem. The second problem is that if he's doing business with Kedusha Shvius, there's no supervision, then you are violating Lifnei Iver by giving him that money. Unless you go through one of these somersaults in the air, the first of which we said was Havla, that you're not buying Peros Shvius, the money is being given for Peros that don't have Kedusha Shvius. If he's selling you that, like, and it's a reasonable amount of reflected in the price, so he's giving you Peros Shvius bichinam for free, or he's allowing you to leave the store, or he's allowing you to pay on credit. If you don't have any of the above, then you've got a serious problem here of Schora for Peros Shvius. Even though you're not interested in Schora for Peros Shvius, but he might be doing Schora for Peros Shvius, and therefore you are violating the favor. And furthermore, what's he doing with the money that you're paying? Those are some of the problems until we get back to Otzer Bezdin in just a minute. But before we do that, let's just finish up on Kuf Yud Zayin, and then I have a page for you from this blue sefer, which is called Mishpatei Haaretz, from Rav Yossi Efrati Izmachon. A very important page I want you to see, which is the last page in your... But first we'll just do this. L'das HaChazon Ish Muto Liknos Peres Nochi L'Sham Lo Miyat. Even though the Chazon Ish, like the Mabit, assumes that the fruits that are produced by non-Jews have Kedusha Shvius, but there's no problem of Schora B'Kedusha Shvius, because Schora only applies when the Mocher is doing business. The Mocher in this case is a non-Jew. He's not obligated in the Mitzvah HaTorah, and therefore he doesn't have the violation of Schora B'Peyer Shvius. You don't have to go through Akafa or any of the other Havla Halakas that we had before. Ach L'Chatchila Lo Yikne Yosef Mimazan Anisrach L'Kavi Yomim. It's best to avoid a situation, because not everyone is clear and understanding that there's a heter here, especially if you come from that area where they treat these peros as sanctified with Kedusha Shvius, and all of a sudden you're buying massive amounts it might lead to a misimpression. So best not to buy such massive amounts. Leave yourself, limit yourself to the amount that you need immediately.
Can I ask a question? We spoke about a minimum amount, and there was a definition of maybe 3 meals. So if you have 10 people in your family, you buy 30 meals.
Right, absolutely.
And if you're making a party and you're inviting 100 guests.
Right, for sure. It's 3 meals per person. Even if you're buying for many people, you multiply it according to the number of people, the mouths that you're feeding. He says you can't always trust the guy. He's claiming that it comes from his field, you know, Muhammad's field, but in truth he bought it from Moshe's field, and Moshe unfortunately sold it to a guy in such a way that he shouldn't have, but that's what happened. Here from the Sefer that I mentioned before, Mishpatei Aretz, he says the following. Some of this we've seen already in the Sefer Dinei Shviit, but there's one major chilish that I hope we'll get to. He says, "Yesh efsharut no sefet limkar peros shviis vakesel leitofes b'gush shviis v'ilmochem ba'avlod ha'anim limkar v'yachnem peros vakesh avur demeshen kodesh b'chir fine v'esadomer kodesh l'samatana efshal v'liyad rak v'dover shimushi." So he adds a very important point here. He says that people have the misimpression that since what you buy is handed to you in a sakit, right, in a bag, or what he calls an ariza, or some sort of kufsa, so you can say to yourself, well, wait a minute, I'm paying him not for the fruits in the bag, but for the bag itself.
Really?
He says that kind of havla is unacceptable. Why? Because how much is the bag worth?
Maybe a penny.
By the way, in Canada, and I assume this is in a couple of countries, is it the same in Britain? You pay for bags. Is that so? Now, there are two reasons for that. One is because bags get expensive and people start grabbing bags. But the second reason for it is, I think, is because of the ecology.
Yeah, ecology.
Ecology. They don't want you know, this is getting burnt up into the atmosphere. And the Canadians are mamish mishug about that, you know. It's the greenest country in the world, probably. The color green, you know, represents. But in any event, so you do pay for bags, but it's very insignificant, you know. Rami Levi, you know, that which is somehow connected to what's that chain in America, the famous chain? Costco.
It's connected?
I think it's connected, because you'll see they have all the Kirkland Foods and so forth and so on. I don't know if it's connected in terms of the corporate ownership structure. No, that's not what I mean. But connected means that they have some sort of very, very profound deal. And also, Osher Ad has a deal like that with them. So they sell those giant bags, you know, I don't remember what they charge for it, a shekel or two, whatever it is. And they're very good bags, you know, I highly recommend buying them, but not with peros shviis in them, if you need havla, because it's so relatively insignificant that it's a ridiculous kind of havla. It's hard to say that all the thousands of shekel that you're paying, because I know what we pay when we walk out of Osher Ad, and that's one of the cheapest supermarkets. But you know, you buy the kaviyot and you walk out with a bill, and then you're going to tell me, oh yeah, you know, that was all given for free, and the thousands of shekels I paid for the Costco bag, that's getting too far. He adds another thing in Number Yudbet. He says limkar ba'avla mutok rakisha ein b'mechira zu iser schora. The Eishom Shemuto Limkar Bavla B'chal Ofen, that's what we relied upon before. And then in Yud Gimel he says, Asa Likno Tvurat Peiro Shviyas O B'dmei Shviyas B'gad. This is very important. Let's say you want to take Peiro Shviyas and they have Kedusha Shviyas and pay for them with B'gad. Or b'dmei shviyas, you want to take d'mei shviyas. Let's say, for example, you're the mocher and you receive money as payment for kedusha shviyas, and you want to take that money and not buy ochlin, but you want to buy clothes or kelim or utensils or other things which you're not allowed to do with peros shviyas. Again, keep in mind that d'mei shviyas are limited by the same restrictions that apply to peros shviyas. Avar v'kanet varam elu tzarch likach peros chulin oshar divrei machol she'enom kadosh b'kedusha shviyas Tmuras Hashviyas Shenasan. If you went ahead and you did a barter deal with Peros Shviyas and Begadim or Kalim, then you have to make sure to swap those Begadim or those Kalim with the Remachals to sort of reinstitute and recreate the Kedusha Shviyas that was lost in that middle stage of Begadim and Kalim. And now, for both in the 10 minutes that we have left, let's study Otzer Best. It's a very short chapter, so, and we have all the fundamental principles here, so please take a... You're going to get 2 pages, Aaron, if you don't mind, because that's the original. Everyone else gets 1 page. Okay, what chapter is it? Just so I okay, so let me... I'll use the book itself. Okay. What is Otzer Best? Let's understand the mechanics. We have all the principles, and I think we just have to apply them. And I'm very happy that we're doing this, because a lot of us need a review if we know B'chla what Otzer Besdin is all about. But we have all the principles, so we'll be able to do it. Otzer Besdin, and this is the Ramban al Torah, is based on a Tosefta in the 8th Perek of Shviz. The Tosefta says, Barishana Yishluchei Besdin Yoshvim al Pischei Ayoros. They used to organize it such a way, says the Tosefta, that the messengers of Besdin, under the supervision of the Besdin, would stand or sit at the entrance to the cities. And whoever brought peros, they would take those peros, Vinostim lo mehem mazon shalosh seudos. Again, we'll get to the financial arrangement in just a minute, but just understand that people are coming en masse with fruits that are produced during Shviyas, and what's critical is that there is no violation of Schorah Per Shviyas. It was the Otzer Besdin, way back at the time of the Tosefta, we're going back like almost 2,000 years in history, and they would supervise to make sure that there was no Schorah Per Shviyas. What would they do with all these massive amounts of fruits and vegetables? They would put it into storage, massive silos. You know, the person who brought it would be given mazon shtei shalosh sudos, because that's not a violation of schora. That's what he needs for immediate use. And then what does Besdin do? The Tosefta even goes beyond that. Now it's time to divvy up these massive amounts to the populace at large. And keep in mind, all these fruits are sanctified with Kedusha Shviyas. So what do? The Beis Din, as representatives of Klal Yisrael, to avoid any violation of Kedusha Shviyas, they hire Paulim. And they supervise these Paulim. And those workers will then divvy up the peros of Shviyas, and we'll see exactly how that happens. Now, the Tosefta continues that the giving out of the peros Shviyas was done usually on Erev Shabbos, and every mishpacha, according to the number of nefashot, the number of people in the mishpacha, would get a certain amount. The Ramban quotes this in the parsha, in Parsha Bahara Shviyas. It's also quoted by the Rashmi Shans in the 9th Perek of Shviyas. And there are 2 halachas that we want to derive, 2 principles from this Tosefta. Principle number 1, that the Shluchei Besdin would take the fruits from those who brought it, give those who brought it mazon shalosh sudos, the rest was put into Otzer. Number 2, the Shluchei Besdin would hire Paulim for this entire process, to remove the fruits, harvest them from the fields, and to whatever is necessary to get those fruits over to the people. Power to the people, but it's got to go through Besdin, who are hiring all these individuals to do whatever they're doing, but it's not in any way schora of peros shviyas. And the Ramban explains, ha peros hanimtsoim biotzer Besdin, these fruits, although they have the sanctity of shviyas, nevertheless they don't have a chovas biur, which means, as we're going to get to later on, that we have to guarantee that the peros are hefker. Any peros that are left in your homes have to be brought out and made accessible, made hefker. Says the Ramban, peros hamechunasim bliotzer bezdim einam trichim biur shekvar muvu orim heimin abayis because no one's hoarding them for schora purposes, but rather echad ani v'echashir mutarim li'achar bir l'kavle mi'ad bezin li'ochlam, because basically what's going on here is that these fruits are considered hefker, they're not owned, because otzer bezin means bezin is not owning them on behalf of themselves or any other individuals, but rather on behalf of the entire tzibur. And the Chazon Ish says that the heter of the supervision of Beis Din extends even to the fields themselves. Beis Din is going to appoint these palim who are going to implement the ktsira and the betsira, the harvesting of the fruits, and they can do it in the same identical way that it's done the other 6 years of the Shemitah cycle. Says the Chazon Ish, ukra delo tiksar, even though the Torah tells us you're not allowed to cut down and harvest the fruits of Shvius, it's only kiderach hakotzrim. What's called kiderach hakotzrim? When is it considered that the ktsir is a violation of Shvius? Bibailim azrachmana. It only refers to the owners of the field. If it's being done on behalf of the populace at large, then it's not done kiderach hakotzrim. That's not a ktsir which was prohibited on Shvius. Umashma b'tosefetish gam abotzrim hakol b'vasachas. They can do it in massive amounts. Again, when we're going to get to the exchange of the fruits, we're going to exchange them in smaller amounts. Like we said, it has Kedusha Shvius, and we don't want it to look like Schorim and Perish Shvius. But if it's done through Beis Din, we don't have to worry about that, because nothing looks or smells or smacks of Schorim. Klomer Beis Din Shepol Mataral Chalek Perish Shvius Tzorcha Tzibur, since Beis Din is now operating on behalf of the Tzibur to divvy up the fruits and make sure that every family is supplied with what that family needs, is Yicholim Shluchav L'Ktsaras HaPeres K'Ragil. The Shluchim can do the regular Ktsira as it's done the rest of the year. K'mochein HaPeres HaMetsuyim Ba'otzer Einam Chayovim B'Biur, because they're Hefker, they're not owned by any individual. Now we go on to page Kuf Chaf Beis. HaDerech HaNaos, the best possible way to divvy up the Peres Shvius, Hanesafim Bamshakim Shomrei Shvius Lidei Hatzarchanim Hi Al Yidei Otzer Beis Din. Of all the methods that we have to deal with Peros Shvius, the optimum method is through Otzer Beis Din, and that's how they should get to the Tzarchanim. How do you say Tzarchanim? The suppliers? Is that how you say it? The wholesalers? Ala Tzarchan linhog b'peres elu b'kedusha shvius. And now, we still have to treat the fruits with kedusha shvius, which means the following. Mitzarch atziris sheperos shvius shem hefker lakol, yirukzu v'yichulku latzibur b'tzura mesuderes. So the Shluchei Beis Din are going to achieve and implement two different functions. Number one, they're in charge of asifas haperos, to gather the fruits. And number two, they're in charge of divvying up the fruits to the tzibur. Afal pisha also liktof v'lesof peros shvius kibichol shana. Even though normally we're not allowed to cut down fruits from the ground, from the fields, in a normal way during Shvius, that we can't do. We can only cut down very, very small amounts. That Easter does not apply, except in the case when I, as an individual, own the field and I'm cutting down the pears for myself. But the Shlichei Beis Din are not cutting down the fruits for themselves or for the owners, but they're doing it rather litzorech hatzibur, and therefore they're allowed to cut the same amounts and large volumes that they do the rest of the year. Now, what about payment? Beis Din eino gove tashlum avur haperos. The money that's being paid to Beis Din, who now have these full otzros of fruits that are being divvied up by the tzarchanim, are not collecting money for the fruits. That would be schar v'peros shvius. The peros shvius are hefker, and therefore Beis Din doesn't have the right to sell those peros. Ella, what are they collecting? What is the money earmarked for? L'shalem l'ovdav. They're only paying for all those workers And there are many different workers. It's like an assembly line, right? You have those who harvest it and those who bring it, you know, package it, and those who transport it, and those who give it over to tzarkanim, and the tzarkanim themselves have to be paid. All these are reflected in the amount of money that's being paid, but no violation of schar b'peir shvius is being done. Why is that? Because the money is being given to Beis Din to divvy it up amongst the various ovdim. So there's no one person who's doing Paris Schar b'peir shvius. We'll have to finish in 1 minute. El Beis Din Rashay L'Shalim L'Avdo Tzmuras Avodasam. Beis Din is certainly licensed to pay all the workers for their work. The Ligvos Esotzalsov, and they can demand from the Tzibur to reimburse the Beis Din for all the expenses. So basically what the Tzibur is doing here is they're participating in the Hotzaot of the Beis Din themselves. Okay, we have it pretty much.
He says, HaKesef HaMishulam B'tachanat HaChalukah Shal Beis Din Einu Nitfas B'Kedusha Shvius Harei Einu Tmuras Per Shvius Al Dmei Hotzos Bilvad. The money that's given to buy Otzer Beis Din doesn't have the sanctity of Kedusha Shvius, because that money is not being paid for the fruits, it's being paid for the work that went into bringing the fruits to the to the custom. Shlichei Beis Din HaMachalkim Per Shvius Motzer Beis Din Litzi Rashan Limdo Lishkol. And since we're not involved in a mechira, technically in schora, therefore the shlichei Beis Din have the right to measure the fruits, and all those prohibitions are completely removed. And Beis Din amachzik peiros biotzer Beis Din litzor chatziv rashoy lahamshich chalkam gam achar zman abir. There is no din and chiv of beer. And that's because there's no individual who owns these perishvies. Yochid shekibu lefnei zman beer pays meroses Beis Din. But when you buy the fruits as an individual, again, you're not paying for the fruits, but now you have kedushas shvius in your possession, then you're chayav in beer when the zman beer comes around. That completes our discussion about Otzer Beis Din.